Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You are listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. Possibly.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to another episode of Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. Yes. Right here on RBN. Talk to you by FilmTalk.com. That's right. And we're going to have a little bit of a holiday weekend here, I do believe. Well, you know, I was asked to do a show for the first. I turned that down, but I will be appearing on other people's shows just to make an appearance and just to give a comment here and there throughout the day. So, you can look forward to that. Also, tomorrow you can look forward to my being guest host for Friday's National Intel Report. So, yes, you're going to get me for 2 hours tomorrow. Make sure you tune in at 5 p.m. Central. So, 5 to 7 broadcast. And as for tonight, I'm going to go ahead and fulfill my obligation of playing some more of the Reawakening Tour because, well, I'm a part of the Reawakening Tour family, and yeah, I'm proud to do so. I'm proud to get the information out. So without further ado, we shall have another hour block of it. Be sure to catch me on tomorrow as well. Thank you.
Jackson! All right, ladies and gentlemen, our next presenter blows my mind each and every time I hear him speak. He's an outspoken, unashamed pastor and teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He refuses to bow to the politically correct idols of our culture. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet and greet Pastor Craig Locke. If you believe we're on the winning side, shout amen, church. Shout hallelujah. You can be seated all over the house. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even, say even, the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every, I said every, that's Republican and Democrat, tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So you hear me, and you hear me well. I want to serve notice on you, the left, and the devil himself in this auditorium. You've got a choice to make. America has a choice to make. You can declare Jesus Lord of your life right now because you choose to. Or you can declare Jesus Lord of your life in the day of judgment because you have to. But make no mistake, Jesus Christ is Lord as much as he's ever been Lord. He's still in control, no matter what the nonsense is that we see in the media. Speaking of nonsense, CNN's been to our church 7 times in the last 20 months. You'd think after dating that faithfully, we should get married. They've called me the renegade redneck pastor that refused to close down his local church, and he's going to kill everybody in Nashville. Well, we never closed, but we ain't killed nobody yet. But we have baptized 3,000 people in the last 20 months, praise God. So they can say what they want to, but I'll tell you, you know why you're here? Because you like people that have some boldness. And if there's anything we need, it's some pastors that have a baptism of boldness, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you were disappointed by the way your pastor handled the COVID debacle? Put your hand down there. That's what I thought. And if you go to a church that's still closed and still masking up, you need to find you a new church. Somebody shout amen up in his house. You say, well, Brother Locke, I'm just going to be honest with you. I just don't think a pastor ought to talk like that. You ought to preach more like Jesus. If I did, you wouldn't buy any tickets to come to this place. I'd love to preach more like Jesus. You ought to read Matthew chapter 23 sometime. It's the meanest, strongest sermon that ever fell out of anybody's mouth. He said, fools, slow of heart, hypocrites, devils, demons. I mean, he called them all out. Well, just preach more like Jesus. Listen, I've been wanting to make a whip and run people out of church for so long, I'd love to preach like Jesus. Well, my goodness, you grabbed the microphone and got political. You clearly never watched one of my Facebook videos, One Natural Day in Your Life. There's no doubt about that. If you wanted somebody that wasn't going to say something, they should have brought Joel Osteen, but they didn't, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to preach what the Bible says. We're going to preach. What the Bible says up in his house. So our sheriff got tired of coming to our church. He got sick of it. He likes all my videos. He's like, look, dude, I'm not going to arrest you, but these people won't shut up. So we've had MTV, Hulu, Netflix, PBS, every one of them that you can imagine show up at our church to do hit pieces, right? And what the enemy means for evil, God turns around for good because people just keep showing up. It's like a bad car wreck. I never thought that we would see the day that pastors and so-called Christians were the ones that were angry at the pastors that stayed open. I get letters every week. Well, we just feel like you... shamed us. Oh, I have. Shame, shame, shame. Everybody knows your spineless, cowardly name. Yes, I've shamed them all. They closed down the hope centers of America and wonder why people have no hope. And I'm here to tell you, they came to us and they said, something's got to be done. The sheriff said, say something so we don't have to keep showing up. Yes, sir, my brother. So that day we had PBS, CBS, and all the media BS at our church. That stands for biblical stupidity, by the way, if you want to quote me. So I got up and tipped my head to the sheriff. He kind of tipped his hat. I said, let me tell y'all something. We so believe in this tent. We so believe in our First Amendment right to gather and worship Jesus Christ the way we feel necessary. We so believe in that First Amendment right. I said, you hear me, media, and you hear me well. If you show up and you impede on our First Amendment right, I said, our boys will meet you at the door of the tent with our Second Amendment right, because we are not playing your Democrat games. We are not going to play your Democrat games. We ain't bending to your demands. We're not bowing to your nonsense. There's only one person I bow to, and that's Jesus Christ. I'm not kissing the ring of a fraudulent Biden administration. My Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Now, I'm not real smart, but don't shout me down that I'm real stupid either. But I'll tell you one thing. If the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church, I promise you coronavirus is not going to prevail against the church of the living God. It's just not. So find you a church where a man of God will be the man of God and stand up with some leather lungs and bow his back like a Benny Rooster and say, I'm going to preach Jesus no matter what they say, no matter what they do. I think the reason the American church is not in a recognition of revival is because revival didn't show up the way we thought it was supposed to. Right? We thought revival was going to come out of a Wednesday night prayer meeting or a Sunday school campaign. Revival came out of persecution. Because we found out real quick something that now they know very well. We have just come through the world's most successful experiment. Because now here's what you know, I know, God knows, and everybody else knows, no matter what side of the aisle they're on. And you better make up your mind what side you're on. Here's what they know. Now they gladly and forcefully know who they can control and who's going to be a problem moving forward. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Greg Locke's going to be a problem moving forward. There's no doubt about that fact. I said I'm going to be a problem moving forward. It's time to stand up and not back up, pack up, slack up, or shut up till we've been taken up by the glory of God. These are the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My shack, your shack, and a bungalow. You better stand. You better suit up and boot up and put on the whole armor of God. And you better recognize one thing. We do not have a White House problem. We have a God's house problem. We are to blame for the nonsense in our streets because of the cowardice of our pulpits and our pews. And may God send the church. Revival. He didn't say if those people. He said if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. That's a fancy word. Repentance. Nobody wants to hear it, but we got to preach it. Repent from their wicked ways. By the way, he was not talking to strippers on poles and peoples in a bar stool, in a beer joint. He wasn't talking to crackheads. He was talking to his people. He said, you better repent. And if you do, I'll hear from heaven. And I'll forgive your sin. And I'll heal your land. And I'm telling you, the church in America needs to quit being so American and start being the church of the living God. The church of the living God. You see, I'm not just trying to save America. I'm trying to save Americans. And the only person that can do that is Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this is not merely a political battle that we are in. This is spiritual warfare 101. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And you have come to this conference hungry to get something on the inside that changes you when you go back home. So I'm going to say something. As a pastor, I'm never done. I just quit, right? But I want to say this. Don't fall into the trap of getting conference drunk. Some of y'all just bebop around to the same conferences and hear the same stuff from the same speakers and go home and sit on your rumps and do nothing with it. Don't just pay money to come for a cool show if you're not going to go back home and turn your school board upside down for the glory of God. Some of you got some work to do. You can't just show up and buy a bunch of t-shirts and hats and be on a bunch of podcasts and shake people's hands and say, oh my goodness, that person's my hero. Let me tell you something. Get up and go home and do something for this nation. Because saving this nation and building the kingdom of God will not cost you something. It'll cost you everything. And nobody wants to pay the price. You can come sit and clap and enjoy yourself and all of it. It's great. But you're going to lose some friends in this movement. Some of you ain't getting invited back for Thanksgiving dinner next year. Some of y'all done been ostracized and separated from your family, but here's what I know. There will never be activation without isolation. And God's isolating some of you because he's going to pull you back and use you in unbelievable ways to turn your community around for freedom and for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we got to be bold. We got to quit giving in to it. And we got to quit playing their games. And let me tell you something, it's all a game. It's all a great, big, ginormous game. Stop playing into their hand. I'm done with it. The church in America is the first line of defense. Pastors were the first ones going to jail. They weren't shutting down Walmart, Cracker Barrel, Waffle House, and taking strippers off poles. The weed dispensaries were still in full effect. Wasn't nobody getting in trouble for that. But they were arresting pastors. And people are like, well, you know, y'all just need to be careful. Y'all just seem to get so angry. Don't mistake anger and passion. I'm angry at the devil, but I'm passionate about saving this generation and the next, ladies and gentlemen. Passionate about that. So, yes, I'm a local church pastor, and I approve this message. Say amen right there. So, with this, I give my time to Eric Trump, and that's going to be amazing. Amen. You know, if you study history, you will find that there are some people that unbelievably saved not just individuals and not just small communities, but entire families. Entire families. And Andrew Jackson on his deathbed pointed at a copy of the Bible and said, and I quote, "That book, sir, is the rock on which the Republic rests. That book, sir, is the rock on which the Republic rests." And if we are going to bring this nation back to where it needs to be, it's going to have to be a biblical revolution that does it. The church is going to have to repent. Just as we know, when the faithful statement was said on that steed one night running through town, "The British are coming. The British are coming. The redcoats are coming." They thought that man was crazy. These days, they'd have called him a QAnon conspiracy theorist. But he saved the nation, regardless if they still teach it in public school or not. "The redcoats are coming. The redcoats are coming. The redcoats are coming." So I'm not a whole lot. Everybody always says, "You're so much smaller in person than you are on TV. Some camera angles." But I want to make you a pastoral promise at this conference. No matter how many death threats we get, and we get a lot of them. No matter how much toilet paper we get in the mail that's filled with toilet paper stuff, and we get that often. No matter how much full-time security we have to have at our church overnight so they don't burn our tent slapped to the ground. No matter what CNN says, what MSNBC and the rest of them say. I ain't the least bit afraid of Oprah and David Lettermouth. They don't bother me one bit.
And just a quick note for everybody listening right now, the upload for the video does have some breaks in it. So if you're just patient, it usually comes back in a few seconds. So it might be a little choppy. Hopefully it clears up in the next 30 minutes or so. Thanks.
I'm going to make you a promise. I'm going to mount the old steed of freedom. And if I'm the only one, which thank God I'm not, but if I'm the only one, I'm going to let them all know. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Get on your feet, church. Get on your feet. Shout to the Lord in this house. Give him praise. Give him honor. Give him glory. Hallelujah.
All right. Before we introduce our next presenter, I thought we could hear from my incredible wife of 21 years, and she can share with you why we're doing these Reawaken America events. So, ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet and greet my incredible wife of 21 years, Miss Vanessa Clark.
Thank you, guys. I just want to share that these events were born out of just doing what you can with what you have. They started with Monday night mask meetings that Clay held at our business every week for over a year, inviting members of the community to come in to listen to local doctors, listen to experts, and listen to Clay and all the research he had done about the models being found. The models being false, the treatments being real, and the PCR tests being falsely calibrated. And just faithfully doing that. And I just want to encourage each of you that, you know, that over time, of course, that grew into something bigger as he felt the need. Hey, you know what? Our iTunes business podcast, took it off of iTunes. They deleted his YouTube. They got rid of the channels he was on. And he just felt like he needed to bring this directly to the people. And God, this is what God did, right? I want to encourage each of you that God has a task for you to do with your time, your treasure, and talents as well. And I don't. Know what that is, but I do know that God has called you here for this time in this place. It's a divine appointment, and it's to activate you to do something. As we get ready here to introduce Eric Trump, I just want to say we are so thankful for the way that God has used the whole Trump family, the way they have fought for our nation. We know that the Lord's hand has been on them. You cannot go through the things that they have been through and come out the way they have without the Lord having his hand on you. So we are so thankful for them, and we know that as America gets on their knees and turns back to the Lord Jesus, he will bring everything operating in darkness into light. Trump will be put back in his rightful place where he belongs. And so I just want to welcome Eric Trump. We are so grateful and honored to have you. Thank you for you and your family and the fight you've done for this nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet and greet Eric Trump.
Oh, Phoenix, we love you so much, Phoenix. We love Arizona. Let me ask you, does anybody in this audience think that Donald Trump did not win this state? Guys, I just got on an American Airlines flight a minute ago, right? This was like a couple hours ago that I came off. I got on the flight, and the entire plane starts chanting exactly what you were chanting, USA. Was anybody here part of that 95-mile-long caravan of cars the day before the election? There is no way in the world that we did not win. There is no way in the world that we didn't win this state. I think there is more love and patriotism and love for country and love for God in this state than, frankly, maybe any others. I really mean that. And by the way, I have to thank the general, and I have to thank Clay and his beautiful wife. You know what? They have put us through hell. They really have. And they've done that on purpose. They want to do anything they can to try and take my father out. They want to do anything they can to try and take our family out. But make no mistake, God is watching down, because you know what, guys? In 2016, we did not have a chance. God was not watching down. Crooked Hillary raised $1.5 billion. You know how much we raised? $300 million. And by the way, she actually knew something about politics, which we knew nothing about, right? Like, you know, she actually knew something about immigration. Actually, maybe she didn't know anything about immigration. She claimed to know something about immigration, but she actually knew something about politics, which we did not. So believe me, somebody was guiding that process. And by the way, there's a war in this country on religion, and we better fight that, because this country is going to go to a very, very dark spot if we don't have God in our lives. And I promise you, our family will fight for religion. Our family will fight for this country every single day. And that's why I'm honored to be with these guys. Honestly, what they put the general through, the general doesn't want to be doing this. You know what he wants to be doing? He wants to be fighting wars around the world for America. And now he's fighting a war within America. And so are all of you. And I honestly, what they've put him through, what they've put all of us through, guys, is unthinkable. And we'll never stop fighting for this country. We will never, ever, ever, ever. And guys, sometimes I wonder, you guys, honestly, thank you. Sometimes I wonder how we got here. And I mean that, you know, I'm a New Yorker. I'm embarrassed to say that at this point. Right now, you can go into New York, right? Is anybody else from New York in this audience? And you all escaped from New York, right? I just escaped from New York, too. It's perfect. So right now, you can go in New York. You can literally rob a bank with a gun, so long as you don't actually pull the trigger. And they will, you'll go down, you'll get arrested, and they'll let you out of the police station that night. You get home, no bond, no bail, no anything. They won't even charge you with a felony. That's how crazy New York has become. And you know what's amazing? When I grew up there, I obviously lived there during 9/11. And I'll never forget after 9/11, right? Every single window of every single building, it didn't matter if you're rich or poor, white or black, every single window of every single building had an American flag hanging outside of it, right? They love this country. You guys remember this. Remember when we're bombing Tora Bora, we've got the B-52s and they're bombing the terrorists right after 9/11. People are celebrating America. Every car had to thank the FYN, you know, the NYPD and FDNY. You know, thank the first responders. It's really amazing. Every single car. And then now all of a sudden you fast forward 20 years. Where did that patriotism in this country go? So you have a women's soccer team over in Tokyo, and you know what they do? They kneel for the national anthem. They kneel for America. They turn their back on their flag. And you have half of the United States of America who are literally hoping that they lose their soccer game to anybody else. They don't care if it's Canada. They don't care if it's Sweden. They don't care who it is. They're literally rooting against an American team. How did that happen? How do you have Mark Cuban, who owns a big basketball team in Texas, of all places, literally lobbying to not have the Pledge of Allegiance and the national anthem said before the basketball games? How did that happen? That's a good answer right there, partially. You know, when did we start turning our back on law enforcement, the greatest people we have in this country? When? When do we start turning our back on first responders? So, you know, after 9/11, everybody had the stickers, right? Thank the first responders. And then, you know, after COVID broke out, thank a first responder. But now, if you don't get a shot in the arm that you don't want to get for whatever reason, they'll fire those first responders. Whatever happened to thanking a first responder? How did we get this crazy in society? You know, isn't it amazing? Nike, big American corporation, right? They've made all their money off of every person in this room and all of America. You know, they promoted American athleticism and American athletes to every country around the world, right? You'd think they'd be an all-American company. They always had the American flag on their shoes. Their top spokesperson, Colin Kaepernick, is getting paid millions of dollars by an American company to disrespect America. How the hell did we get here, guys? And I think about this every single day. And guys, there is a war happening in this country right now, whether you like it or not. And it's an unconventional war. It's not the war with bullets and everything else. But you have a political party in this country that wants to weaponize every single system we have. And if we don't pay attention to it, guys, we're going to get steamrolled. We are going to get steamrolled. Look at education, right? What's more important than the youth of this nation? You see what's happening in Virginia, right? Critical race theory. They want to indoctrinate our kids with the 1619 Project and critical race theory, and they want to make every little four-year-old the same age as my son believe that he's a racist and he's a this and a that. You've got these teachers. If a young kid wears a Trump hat into one of the classes, they'll fail. How are they doing this? They control the school boards. They control the principals. How are we allowing them in this country to do that? And you know what they're doing? They're weaponizing the school system. Very smart, actually, if you think about it, but they're weaponizing that system. They're weaponizing higher education. I went to a place called... Georgetown, right? One of the best schools in the country. We had a teacher that literally came out and said that all white males should be castrated. So I know the president of the school. He's kind of a long-term, I don't know, friend, acquaintance. We know each other. We have a lot of respect for... So I sent him a little note. Hey, Jack, did you see this comment made by this teacher the other day? She literally said that all white males should be... Like, if I said that about somebody else, you know what would happen, right? Like, well, Eric, we believe in freedom of speech of our faculty. I go, you got to be kidding me. So, guys, they've weaponized education. Look at what they're doing with the military. So a couple weeks ago, China launches a hypersonic missile. Everybody probably saw this, right? Okay, well, China launched a hypersonic missile, right? Let me fill everybody in that did not see this. So they go to General Milley. They go, Milley, do you know anything? Were you so? Surprised? Yeah, we were totally surprised. We had no idea that was coming. It's like, no crap, you didn't know that was coming. You know what you're doing? You're going out there, you're apologizing for white rage in front of Congress. You're renaming Fort Bragg and Camp Lejeune and all these incredible military installations. You're conducting sensitivity training. You're certainly not winning wars. Of course, you're not focused on the fact that China is launching all these missiles, because you know what? The system has been weaponized. So they've done it with education. They're doing it with the military. They did it with the DOJ. How many people in this room has been censored? Social media. So they censored me. Instagram censored me last week. I won't exactly. Staying in a church, what I put up, if I put up this video of Biden saying something, and this whole crowd cheering, it was clearly a meme. They threw me off of social media for 2 weeks because I put up this meme video that was totally innocent. It was like totally funny, right? And they're willing to do that. They throw my father off of social media. So they throw the president of the United States off of social media, who got 75 million votes. He got more than 75 million votes. That's true. And we all know that Biden didn't get 80 million votes. Give me a break. Does anybody believe that Barack Obama in 2008, got 13 million votes less than sleepy Joe Biden, who literally couldn't put together a sentence and didn't lift his hands? No one believes that, right? We all know what happened in this room. We all know what happened in this room. But you know what? The president of the United States, overwhelmingly elected, gets thrown off of social media. Yet the Ayatollah in Iran, they have a social media page on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. The Taliban, savages, murderers, they have social media pages, but yet the president of the United States got thrown out. We've all been censored, guys. So guess what? They've weaponized the system. They've weaponized social media. They've weaponized the media. Negative 90% coverage for any Republican candidate is probably worse for our family, right? The media in this country is owned by 6-7 people. So they've weaponized that system. Guys, these people weaponize every single system. Look at the Russia hoax with the DOJ and the FBI. I was the guy that got that call, right? I'll never forget this. Some guy goes in, guy named Sussman. He goes into the FBI. Yes, I'm a concerned citizen. Now he's actually being paid by Hillary Clinton. I'm a concerned citizen. I'd like to tell you we have inside information that the Trump Organization has a secret server connected with Alpha Bank in Russia. So then he leaves the FBI after telling them this. The FBI actually asks him, hey, are you here on behalf of anybody? And he goes, no, I'm just purely a concerned citizen. Now he's getting paid by Hillary Clinton, right? So he leaves. He calls up the New York Times. New York Times, I hear the FBI is investigating Trump for collusion with Russia. So I get a call. I get a call from the New York Times saying, hey, we hear you're colluding with Russia. We hear you have a secret server. I go, first of all, how could we have a secret server? We're like mainly like a cloud-based company. We don't really keep servers. So once you get past that, second of all, we don't know anybody in Russia. We're not exactly like the type that deals with the Russia. What the hell are you people talking about? We don't, right? But this is a system. They rigged it. So guess what? They bring in a special prosecutor and special counsel. They put my father through absolute murder for 3 years while he's running this country. Again, guys, they rigged the system. These people rigged the system in corporate America. They rig it in, you know, pharmaceuticals and the medical. Look at Dr. Fauci tells me he's not rigged. They rig every single system. And guys, anybody who believes that this isn't a cognitive... cognizant effort of theirs is naive. And we better be awfully, awfully sharp to it. And you know, it's funny. We used to have all these chants, right, at all the rallies. We had all these incredible chants, right? You remember them. Lock her up. That was a good one. Lock her up was a really good one. It's still good. By the way, how about them trying to bring her out of retirement to try and save Biden? Clay, could you ever believe that they would have to bring Hillary Clinton out of retirement to actually save this guy because that's how bad he is? I think the inflation number in this country is actually a higher percentage than his approval rating right now. It's kind of like, but you had lock her up, you had build the wall, you had USA, USA, right? But you had another chant that's really interesting. If you're, which one? Build the wall. I can't say that. Clay, I'm not allowed to say it. Now, I didn't do it. But we had all these incredible chants, right?
The best chant is drain the swamp.
Which, General, is exactly what I was getting to. But you know what? Back then, no one actually knew what drain the swamp meant, right? Everybody, General, you remember this. Everybody thought that drain the swamp meant get Nancy Pelosi out of there, right? Because she had been in government for 35 years. Or, you know, get Joe Biden out of there because Joe Biden had been in politics, you know, substantially longer than I've been alive, right? I'm 38. The guy's been in politics for over 50 years. So, you know, I was negative 12 years old when Biden came on the street, if you can possibly believe it, right? So, but everybody thought that drain the swamp was that, right? Get rid of these swamp creatures who had been in D.C. But now when you look at what they did to the general, when you look at what they do to me every single day, when they send every single AG in every state that's part of a different political party after you, they want to take you down. They want to take you down criminally. They did it to him. They've done it to certainly people in this audience. They do it to my father every single day. When you see them weaponizing every system in this country, the real drain the swamp is what we're here today to talk about, which is actually saving. This country from the tyranny that they're trying to put us through. And why did it take a billionaire? Why did it take a billionaire from New York City, who's just a really good real estate guy, to kind of expose the nonsense of these people to the entire country and the entire world, the dishonesty of this people? Drain the swamp is such a bigger message today than it's ever been. It's the message we see with the vaccine. It's the message we see with voter fraud in this country. It's the message we see when they're attacking our religion. It's the message we see when they're attacking our Constitution, when they're attacking the Second Amendment in this country. And guys, that's what we got in there as a family to fight for. We needed this thing like a hole in the head. We didn't need politics. Our life was exponentially worse having gotten into politics. But you know what? We wanted to make a difference. And guys, I'll never forget that day that my father told us that. I'll never forget that day that my father told us he was running for president. He called us into his office. He goes, "You know what, kids? Let's do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to run. Let's do it together as a family." Guys, guys, he loves you, and we all love you. He loves you, and we all love you. And you know what? No, seriously, we really love you. And by the way, this is a movement of love, guys. This isn't a movement of, believe me, this is the last thing I need to be doing, right? This is a movement of love because we all love this country so much, and these people are trying to destroy it. They're trying to tear the fabric of this company apart. But I'll never forget seeing the frustration in his eyes. He'd read the paper in the morning. I tell this story all the time, but he'd read the paper in the morning, and he'd see U.S. is rated 30th in the world in terms of education. He's sitting there saying, "How in the world are we rated 30th in the world in terms of it? We're the United States of America. We should be number one at absolutely everything we do. Not 30th. Or here to read the headline, you know, "Obama gives $150 billion to Iran." And he's sitting there saying, "Yesterday, Iran was chanting death to America. We're giving $150 billion to this crazy country. Are you kidding me?" And now they're putting out videos of drones attacking him on golf courses. Are you seeing this stuff right now? Not exactly fans of ours, clearly. General, they're not fans of ours. But, you know, he would read these stories. I remember watching the 60 Minutes. I told this actually at the last. Last time I was with the general, we were watching 60 Minutes. They bring the 60 Minutes cameras into one of the missile silos in, you know, South Dakota or one of these places. And they have this young missileer, right? Beautiful guy, you know, good shape, everything. "Yeah, well, that clock doesn't work, and that telephone doesn't work, and we don't know if these missiles are operational." And he's sitting there saying, "I can't believe we could..." "Never let the military get there. But even if we did, I can't believe that they would broadcast this weakness to the entire world." And then he would see what was happening with our vets, and he would see what was happening with our VA, and he would see what was happening with our fighter planes, most of which wouldn't even take off because they didn't have enough parts. And we were being disrespected all around the world. And guys, that's why we did it. And you know what? They didn't even give us a chance. It was 12 minutes. I was standing right there when he got the call from Hillary, right, when she conceded. It was 12 minutes after that phone call was made that the Washington Post ran a story, which is called "This is When Impeachment Begins." Guys, this is what they do to outsiders. My father wasn't elected for more than 12 minutes when the Washington Post, owned by Jeff Bezos, as everybody knows, writes an article, "This is when impeachment begins." They didn't even give my father, they didn't even give our family a chance. And then they impeach him over the Russia nonsense. And you saw how they went after Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh is no sexual predator, that much I can tell you. You can look him in the eyes and you can tell that this is a good man. And then they try and impeach him again, and then they go after him again, and then now you look at the January 6th committee where they're locking up everybody in the world. But you know what? If you burned a church across from the White House, they're not even looking for you. But if you're a nice person who went into the Capitol and took a selfie, you know, you're going to jail for years. Guys, it's crazy. It's crazy. This country is broken. It is absolutely... absolutely broken. And guys, that's why we're going to take it back. That's why we're going to take this country back. And you know what? It takes people with backbone like the General and like Clay and like all of you to do that. Honestly, we love you too. What does your shirt say? Yes, you can pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. By the way, keep praying. Keep praying. Because God will get us there. I'm telling you, he will. He's been watching down on us this entire time because we would not be standing here if he wasn't. I'm just telling you. And you know what, guys? People are starting to see it. And I really mean that sincerely. People are starting to see it, right? And maybe it took God to actually orchestrate this whole plan where actually people see the greatest president in the history of this country. Followed very closely by probably the worst president in the history of any country. I mean, look what my father did. Lowest unemployment, lowest African-American unemployment, lowest female unemployment, lowest Hispanic unemployment, best stock market, hands down, rebuilt the entire military, gave veterans the totally rebuilt the VA, gave veterans private choice, did right to try. Everybody forgets about right to try. You know, I'll never forget, he walked into the White House, it's like the first week he was there, and they kept on calling the big green tree on the south grounds of the White House, they kept on calling it the holiday tree. And he finally looks at them, he goes, guys, why the hell are you calling it the holiday tree? He goes, it's called a Christmas tree. You're going to start calling it a Christmas tree. You guys remember this? In 2016 and 2015, if you said Merry Christmas, they would throw you in jail. I mean, literally, it's like you offended somebody. It's like you cursed at somebody, right? You know, he gets in there. He goes, no. It's called Christmas. You know, no different than we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving and we're going to celebrate Halloween because guess what? We're Americans and that's what we're going to do. And we're going to protect God. No, he'll come back. Just wait. Be patient. I promise. You be patient, all right? Just keep your hope. I promise you he will be. He will be. In some way, shape, or form, guys, I promise you this family will be back. You keep the faith, I promise you. And guys, 2022 is going to be a bloodbath for them. You can see the writing on the wall. 2022 is going to be the start of the revival. I really mean that. And we're going to bring this country back. You know, we all love this nation. We love everything that this nation stands for. We love red, white, and blue. And we've got to figure out how to go back to the spirit that we had after 9/11. The spirit that we've had in much brighter days in this country where people love this nation. They're thankful for being in this nation. They respect God. They're not trying to do the craziness. They're not trying to delete. I mean, look at this cold cry right now to take under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance and to try and take in God we trust off of our national currency. Why would we do that? Why would we do that? And guys, I can tell you under Donald Trump, that was not happening. That was not happening. But you know, yet under Biden, you've got this kind of administration in there right now that every time there's a problem, they're running for the fence. There's no one to be found. Has anybody noticed that? So you had this whole massive debacle in Afghanistan. Where was Biden? You know where he was? He was in Wilmington, Delaware. So we leave $86 billion worth of military equipment with the Taliban, right? It is treason. 86. So if you think like a nuclear aircraft carrier costs, what, $9 billion to build? We left 86. We almost left 9 aircraft carriers worth of military goods. So you had the Taliban that were literally riding around on mopeds, carrying AK-47s that were built in the 1960s and 1970s. And now they're driving around in up-armored Humvees with U.S. sniper rifles, night vision, flying around in Black Hawk helicopters, mini birds. Guys, this is the best and greatest of our politicians right here. And you know where Biden is the entire time? He's in Wilmington, Delaware. And you know what? They made Kamala Harris. Remember when they made her border czar? So they make Kamala Harris border czar, and you know where she goes? I happen to like Taco Bell, all right? So leave Taco Bell alone. She goes to Vietnam. Biden makes her border czar, and she decides to go to Vietnam. And then you have Pete Buttigieg. You can't literally. I walked into the supermarket the other day. I want to get chicken. There is no chicken in the supermarket, right? So you have bare shelves Biden right now. You have nothing on the shelves anywhere. And you know where Pete Buttigieg goes? He's on paternity leave. Why wouldn't you be on paternity leave when you literally have nothing on the shelves in supermarkets? I mean, guys, you can't make this up. You can't make this up. And I think people are seeing the dichotomy between the greatest president and truly the worst. And so, guys, here's the promise I make to you. Never, ever, ever lose faith. Never lose faith. Never, ever lose faith. We will be out there fighting every single minute. Of every single second for this nation, not because it's fun sometimes, not because it's enjoyable. We'll take every single arrow, but we're going to save this country. We're going to do it for my kids. We're going to do it for everybody in this room. We love red, white, and blue. We love our Constitution. We love our military. We love God. And guys, in this country, we're not letting that go. So you be patient. Help is around the corner, I promise you. You be very, very patient. We're going to get these guys. God bless you. Never, ever, ever stop fighting. God bless this great state, and God bless the United States. We love you guys. We love you so much. We love you. We love you. Thank you guys so much. Thank you.
So, I mean, you just heard just a great, great, you know, missive on everything that's been going on with the Trump family from the years of running this beautiful country of ours, what this family has gone through. I mean, I know that they had plenty of better things to do in life, but they decided to serve this country. One of the things that one of the areas that I was home in is a very liberal area, and I asked one of my brother-in-laws, you know, because everybody recognizes this hat, right? And I guarantee that over Christmas time, there were probably 10, 20, probably 80 million of these hats sold for Christmas and bought for Christmas, right? Did anybody see any T-shirts or hats that said Build Back Better? Right? Not a one. So if 80 million or 81 million people voted for Build Back Better, you'd see a hell of a lot more of these types of hats that say Build Back Better. Right? And that's my point. That's our point. This country is in dire need of leadership. Donald Trump, Eric's father, gave us that leadership and will continue to give us that leadership. So on behalf of this country, we want to thank you and just make a little presentation. And we have another little presentation. Come on over here. Because Eric's son loves these Hot Wheel cars. So I'm going to turn this over to Clay.
I heard Eric made the mistake of telling me that his son loves Hot Wheels. And so I asked a few of the listeners, I said, if you, you know, could bring a Hot Wheel or two, that'd be great. And so, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, Eric Trump, I present you with a boatload of Hot Wheels for your son. Devin, cue the music. Let's go.
There's more Hot Wheels in that box than there were Biden votes in this state, I swear. That's incredible. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Guys, we love you so much. God bless you. We'll see you very soon. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, one more time, let's hear it for Eric Trump. And for all of you that brought the Hot Wheels. Thank you for making that happen. Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels. May that kid have a lot of fun with those Hot Wheels. May our country be free for him to play with those Hot Wheels. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here to talk about election fraud. And again, no matter how many times, no matter how much I'm being sued by Eric Coomer for... You guys know about Eric Coomer, right? The former head of security and strategy for Dominion. The reason why they're suing me in this tour is because they don't want us to have this conversation, all right? So, ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet and greet Arizona State Representative here to talk about election fraud, Mark Finchem!
And I'm supposed to follow that? Wow. Okay, so we're going to try and run through this really fast. Slides up, please. Here we go.
Tune in next time to Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
Let me ask you something. When my wife's father has introduced me to stogies, what is she going to say?
Tune in next time to Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
Say hello to my little friend!
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
That is good. That is good.
Tune in next time to Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
True winner.
And I get the green light from Mom.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.